Indian housing. Housing started in 1938. Indian housing didn't start till the 70s. So I have a little experience. The first thing is that you're dealing with is in California 20 years ago, they adopted an unlawful detainer for mentally ill people. That means that if you're in a transitional housing, a shelter, any type of facility, you fall under the jurisdiction of a judge. When I was in Yakima visiting a year ago, the Junior League sponsored a conference to talk about criminal justice. A judge established a mental health court, and she said, the first time in my career I spent 20 years as a prosecutor, 20 years as a judge, I have to actually advocate for a client. You know, I was taught to be an advocate in law school, but I've never been an advocate as a judge or a prosecutor. And now I have to change my mindset that I'm an advocate for the client. And I have to order agencies of government to do the proper thing. So a couple of other court cases that have come down. A judge, Marcia Petchman, I used to drive her to the airport. She would call me. We had nice conversations. I reported that my nephew, who was in a group home, went on a field trip to Packwood. They left him there. So he broke into a group grocery store, stole one sandwich and a Coke because he was hungry. He spent 6 months in Western State for a psych evaluation. A year ago, Disability Washington filed a lawsuit. Judge Petchman, the state of Washington said, oh no, we don't have enough time. We want to drag out this case. Judge Petchman's reply is, you're the largest law firm in the state of Washington. I will not change my calendar. She had a trial in March. And 3 days later, she issued an order, every court in Washington State shall do a psych evaluation in 7 days or drop the charges. So there are some precedents of law.
Thank you very much. One final thing
I'd like to give to you is that the banks and Wall Street Journal 2 weeks ago published that they have 100,000 units that are being held by banks and not delivered to the community. If you as the city go to the major banks in Oregon and say, how many units do you have in inventory that you can actually put on the market so we can sell those houses and free up rental property, we might be able to change the rental market in a very short period of time, change from 2% to possibly 5%.
Good, very good point.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon.
Hey, guys. My name is Jesse Sponberg. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. Real quick, a couple ideas. The landlords keep coming up here, and the people that rent, the people that represent the housing industrial complex, keep coming up here and giving you examples of cause eviction reasons. You know what I'm saying?
Jesse, we're
on this declaration.
Right.
I know. I got that.
We're not taking up the renter. We're not taking up the renter protection.
I just want to get those out of the way real quick.
All right.
Okay. All right. Then I'll cut to the goddamn chase. Hey, nobody here is fooled that in an election year, you guys all of a sudden decide you're going to care and then maybe get sued. Meanwhile, there are people literally in the streets every day. Now, this is nice. You guys come out. You've been on city council damn near 16, 18 years, man. How many years on your watch have these problems been developing? These problems developed while you were here, and now you guys talk to each other like you're some great heroes. I'd like to thank the mayor. I'd like to thank the commissioner. No, we're not fooled. This happened on your watch. You guys are throwing water on the fire that you helped start. I saw the newspaper. I know how much money, how many campaign donations you're getting from these same people. You guys let that older gentleman sit here and talk for 20 minutes. I said, he's got to be on the inside. Commissioner Fritz said, oh, it's nice that our families have known each other, but I bet I don't even get 2 minutes here to talk. I'm telling you, this city is on fire. And I'm telling you, if you continue to use your police officers to be the strong arm of the banks, and if you have people like Mark Krueger showing up to evict families, I promise this city will go nuts. And if you guys want to sit up here and keep patting yourselves on the back, that's great. But this is a very, very serious warning. We're going to start putting bodies in front of the problem, sir. So you can throw money at it. You can throw $30 million that you can't find anywhere else to keep working with the poverty pimps and the same red tape and bureaucracy that is creating this problem. Meanwhile, there are people whose only crime is trying not to die on the streets of your city, dude. All you guys are trying to do is keep the pitchforks away and get reelected. And I really hope that not a single person all day has bought into that BS. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Welcome.
I gotta go.
Yeah, I'll see you. So I'm Brett Rosenthal. And who I represent is, in this crisis, I wanted to add an issue that hasn't really been talked about at all. And that's the people that are felons, that are druggies, that are criminals, that are less than perfect, that aren't up here saying that I have perfect credit and a kid and all these things in life through shit in my plate. I've created all this. So I've gotten to the point where I'm still a father. I still got a 12-year-old kid. I'm still raising someone else's kid currently. I still pay my bills. I still pay my rent. I still wash my ass. I still brush my teeth. I still call my mom at night. I still call my girlfriend. I still tell my friends I love and care for them. Where do I do that from? When all these property management, even these, I had to go to a private lender. I don't have a fan in my bathroom. I don't have a washer and dryer in my bathroom. I live in a piece of shit farmhouse converted into 16 apartments from like 1920. And I sit in my apartment, which is on the front, and I look at six houses. They're perfect little pea pod house is probably put together in the 30s or 40s, maybe around wartime or something. They're just so everyone gets a house and a fridge and a stove and four walls and a roof. But they've been sitting there for 5 years across from my apartment, empty. I see a lights on in one. This one's even got power in it for the last 9 months I've been there. The house next to me has got bushes growing over the house because it's been empty too for even longer than the ones across the street. There's plenty of opportunity out there. There's plenty of land. There's plenty of four walls and a roof. I mean, I understand that I made whatever my choices were in society, and I paid for those sitting in a box somewhere, and I paid for whatever crimes I committed against the rules of society. But there has to be a point where I still have to be a contributing part of this. I still have a child to raise. I still have a so there's all these statistics that says my 12-year-old is going to be a criminal and a gang member and shoot guns off and fall out of school and be a piece of shit because his dad's a piece of shit. But if I'm not, based on just the decisions that were in my past and I'm making it for the future, then how do you go about taking those pieces that you say might the kids of incarcerated parents are going to be shit because their parents are shit? Well, if you don't give the person a chance to get out, to get a job, to get all this stuff together. Where do I shower? Where do I clean? Where do I put my slacks and my ties and my shirts that I get from the cleaners? Where do I put all this shit? Do I put it in a cart? Do I put it under a lean-to? Do I go stay in a park because parks are where people can stay? That's kind of bullshit. It's kind of not right. It's not fair. It's not real. And there's human beings here. And the last thing I apologize to go over, but the last thing I want to say is you made a mention about money earlier. Where's the money? You all got this big building, and who's making money? Fuck money. There's people here, human beings, flesh and blood, life, that has to have more value than any kind of currency. I don't care what color, what face, what number, what denomination you put on it. It has to be more than that. There's people here.
Thank you.
A person. That's it.
Okay. I'd like to thank all who have testified. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and I believe we're just talking about the emergency state declaration.
Yes, please.
So, I think it would be very good if you would consider, at least in the public remarks, including language, where you say that the situation is such a grave crisis that it is parallel to the situation found in Oregon Statutes 91.225, paragraph 5, where it talks about disasters that impact the rental market and the capacity to house people. And then we can let Ms. Rosenblum decide if she wants to challenge you, no matter how the poverty pimps, the landlords, they can all challenge you in court if they wish, and the courts could say they don't have standing. So act strongly. The situation is analogous to a situation under 91225-5. Act strongly. If the wealthy people don't want to see the poor people get helped, let them go into courts and say so.
Thank you. Pastor Mark, I think you get the last word before we vote on the...
Not quite. On
this one, we have to...
Barry, on this one, we're going to lose a quorum, so we're going to have to take a vote. We'll hear from you in a little bit.
Reverend Mark Knutson, pastor of Augustana Lutheran Church in Northeast Portland. I came to speak on both, but I'll just speak to the one. We are home to the Community Alliance of Tenants, as well as five other nonprofits, and we estimate close to 30,000 visits to the church a year outside of worship around issues of justice and social accountability in our city and our state. And this is a major crisis. I didn't come and spend almost 3 hours here today when there are many other things I could have been doing, because this is such a crisis. And as clergy, as rabbis, as imams, as spiritual leaders in the city, we deal with it every day. They're members of our congregations. They're members of the community. And we know we've watched gentrification happen in the city, and this is another major piece that affects the well-being of our citizens. I can speak to one person in the congregation, 80 years old, worked, retired, lived by Lloyd Center. Now she's living out beyond 82nd. And her biggest fear is if she leaves, she may get moved again. And she spends 80% of her income on her housing. At the expense, and the farther out she has to move, the farther she is from any services, from her community, from the people she knows. That's just one example. You all are people of conscience. I know that. And we have a major, major crisis in our midst. And we know that our cities, our nation, our state, we're measured by how the most vulnerable are doing. And that's our challenge. And I would very strongly support what you're going to do next week, but I think that's just the tip of what needs to be done. So redouble your efforts. Put this to the top of the list. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we're going to take a vote now on the declaration, and then we'll take further public testimony while we still have a quorum. I know we're going to lose a couple people, so we have to vote while we still have them. So, yes.
Mayor, you're going to vote on 1029 first, the code amendment, and then 1030, the declaration?
Yes, in that order.
Thank you.
So 1029 first, please.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
We don't do this lightly. This is obviously an emergency and a very significant challenge to our community. So what this ordinance does is amend Title 15 to authorize the council to declare an emergency, which we're going to do in the next session. It doesn't specify specifically how we're going to do this. It doesn't specify what we're going to do in particular, other than waive the zoning code for two storage units. So that's only the start of what we need to do. The other challenge is that we don't yet know, and we have only started the discussions of how to find the $20 million that has been pledged by my colleagues. So that it seems unlikely that we're going to have $20 million of additional money in the next budget. So we will be looking at services such as police, fire, parks, and others, to figure out how can we provide all of the services that people want. There are fewer people living outside in the entire Great Britain, which is the same size as Oregon. There are fewer people living outside there than there are in the city of Portland. And that's because the community in United Kingdom pays a lot more in taxes to provide the services so that everybody can be inside. So it's very much a matter of not only what are we willing to do, but how are we going to pay for it? And I very much appreciate the mayor and Commissioner Saltzman, Commissioner Fish, the triumvirate of the three housing commissioners bringing this forward and taking some active steps to address this as the crucial issue that it is. Aye.
Fish.
Mayor, thank you for scheduling this vote. I have a water users consortium meeting tonight. I'd be happy actually to defer and have you go in my stead, but I am obligated to be there. First of all, I just want to say to the mayor, thank you for bringing this forward. And to our critics, let's acknowledge that this vote in and of itself solves nothing. So we said it. And it doesn't solve anything right now. But it gives us the flexibility to do some things we couldn't do before. And therefore, it is a necessary precondition to doing some things we want to do. And it is my sense, going around the community, that the number one issue facing our city, and I hear this from everywhere I go in our city, is the housing crisis. And in my 7 years, I could not have said that before. And as all the housing advocates here know, we fought to get into the arena on housing, but it was never considered a first-tier issue. Today, it is the number one issue facing our city. And so we have to do some different things. Mayor has declared his intent to have an emergency, which gives us flexibility. I support him wholeheartedly in that. Commissioner Saltzman has said we have to make some changes in the law to loosen up some units, create some incentives for private development. A number of us believe that we need new resources. There is a whole package of things we have to do if we're going to tackle this problem. And no single action will make a dent. I believe all of them are necessary to show that we are up to this emergency. So I will support this resolution.
Ordinance.
I will support this ordinance because I think symbolically it's important and it gives us more flexibility. But we will be held accountable in the months ahead for taking other actions, new resources, new homes, new tools, and new protections. That's how we will be judged. And I hope the council is prepared to be as bold in the future as we are today in declaring an emergency. Aye.
Saltzman?
I appreciate the mayor bringing this before us, declaring an emergency, using his powers to do that. This really is, as Commissioner Fish just said, a lot of people don't know what it is we mean when we're talking about this emergency ordinance, but everybody resonates with the idea that this is an emergency housing in Portland. So I think it means a lot of different things to different people. It's up to us, the City Council and the County Commission, to put the flesh on the bones, and I think we've made some good starts in that, both in terms of resources, in terms of some policy provisions, but there's definitely more work to be done, and I'm confident this body is up for it, as I am confident that the County Commission will also take bold steps. So I'm very pleased to support this. Aye.
Hales.
I want to thank my colleagues and thank the Portlanders that we've heard from on this issue for focusing on this crisis, because it is a crisis. I was thinking back, hearing some of these stories today, to my story and the story of some of my neighbors. I moved to Portland in an old car with not enough money to go back to Virginia. My wife and I found an apartment. We rented there for a while, and then we were able to buy our first home. We raised kids here who love to call Portland home, or at least call home to Portland from where they are now. And that's an ordinary story. And my neighbor across the street, John Athanasakis, was an old man who was a member of the Greek Orthodox Church who had an affordable unit that somebody thought to take care of him with. And that's what we're doing here. We're thinking about our neighbors and trying to take care of each other. And that's something I love about Portland. And we try to do that through law and policy, but we do it even more through partnership. So we need our pastors. We need our nonprofit organizations like PCRI and REACH and all the rest of them to work with us. We need our housing authority, Home Forward, who's such a great partner. And we need our county government, who's joined with us in this work through this institution that we've created of a home for everyone. Doesn't sound all that interesting, but it's actually government doing what it should do, which is working together as one and reaching out to partners who will help and solving a problem. And I was really inspired over the course of this year by what we've accomplished with veterans homelessness. It is proof that we can make change and that we can focus on a problem, bring people together, and make a difference, get people into housing who deserve it. They're not the only ones who deserve it, but they were a good place to start in this focused effort of these multiple organizations working as partners. So I want to keep thinking about our neighbors as we keep bringing ideas forward about, Barry's got one, I know he wants to talk about it. Lots of people in the community have ideas about where we can help solve this problem. I literally had pastors run up to me the morning that the Pope spoke, because a bunch of people gathered at St. Andrew's and listened to the speech, and they came up and said, we'll put some people in our church if you can just get the bureaucracy out of our way. I love that spirit. And we need more of that because we'll need a lot of people working together to address this. This is a great moment for Portland because we have focused on a crisis and we have declared it one. And as my colleagues have said, nothing changes instantaneously because of this vote. But what it does is open some doors so that we can invite those partners in to work with us and make a difference. We can go to Salem and say, we need that money, Governor Brown and legislature, for the construction of supportive housing for the people who will be served by the Unity Center, and then let's please not turn them out on the street like we did with Norris McClendon so that he goes back into the criminal justice system. Let's instead give them supportive housing and services so they are back in the community like the mental health system is supposed to do. Let's then call on our partners in other agencies to work with us that way. And then there will be those who oppose us. So the second thing a declaration of emergency does is give us a legal leg to stand on in pushing forward. And we will need to call on our city attorneys because no good deed goes unpunished, and I'm certain that there will be people who oppose elements of what we will do under this declaration of emergency. And then finally, we can, I think, with the support of a lot of people in this community, stop demonizing homelessness and understand its causes while still preserving safe streets. There are a lot of people suffering from compassion fatigue in our city who call on me every day to clean out that mess. And I understand that homelessness causes terrible side effects. And we and my staff and our office and others in this building work every day to try to keep Portland safe and attractive for everybody. But these are our neighbors, and we need to take care of them. And at bottom, that's what this declaration is about, a recognition that these people are our neighbors and we must do better. So I want to thank and commend Josh Alpert, first of all, my amazing chief of staff who has worked so hard to bring this declaration before us, and all who have labored so far in this good work and who will now together do more. Aye. Thank you very much. So we are losing a quorum.
We have to vote on
the other item before Commissioner Fish leaves, and then I think we're going to schedule the next piece of work. So
what's the other item?
The second declaration.
Actually doing the...
We've now authorized ourselves to make the declaration.
We now said we could actually do it. Declare a housing authority.
How many votes do you intend to take tonight?
Two.
Just this one.
Roll call, please.
Novick?
A nice thing about having two things to vote on is gives me an opportunity to say use points that I used to make before, but neglected too. One is Commissioner Fritz was saying that we have limited options in terms of funds. We might, in order to have more money for housing, have to cut police, fire, or parks. We don't have the option the federal government has, which is to cut military spending, where we spend almost as much in our military as the rest of the world combined. So that's another reason I'm grumpy about the federal government's lack of initiative on this issue. Another point that I think is important to make is that in a normal property tax structure, the fact that the value of housing in Portland is going up, which would mean that we'd have a lot more property tax revenue to spend on things like affordable housing. But because of Measure 50 passed in 1996, the value of a property can only go up for tax purposes by 3% a year, no matter how much it's going up in actuality. So people in recently gentrified areas of largely inner east Portland are paying really low property taxes on expensive houses. So to a great extent, we in this city are dealing with the problems caused by rising housing prices without getting the kind of tax revenue benefit to help deal with those problems we would have under a normal tax system. So that's my grumpy rant for the afternoon, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
So this is the implementing ordinance, and it does actually do something. It waives the zoning code for the placement of the two storage units. I greatly appreciate Mayor Hales and Josh Alpert and Tim Crail on my staff and the city attorneys for working with me on this to craft the amendments that make sure that we are all going to be involved and informed about how we move forward after this. We can make decisions with just three of us. We work a lot better on this council when all five of us weigh in and strive together to make something good even better. And I believe that's what's happened here. And I'm grateful for the willingness to do it quickly and also to get it done and done right. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Ailes.
Aye. Thank you very much. And I think we are going to have to continue the hearing on the remaining item because, of course, it's not scheduled for a vote today. Do we have some folks that were still signed up? We'll put you first on the list next time. So, well, we have just two of you. Is that what we have? Oh, let's take you now. Sorry. We won't make you wait. Thank you. Just give us your name, Barry. Oh, Carla, turn the microphone on, please.
Is Barry Sutton, and I've been interested a long time in what I brought up to you, the area behind Washington High School. In 1998, catacorner to St. Patrick's Church, I'd come to the service and pick up around the people there. They lived on about a quarter or a third of one of the three blocks there. There were 55 people that would do that. It's easy to put that together, and it would take up all the homeless people in Portland, I feel. Well, I'm glad you're considering it as you can, please. And thank you very much, and you'll have a much fuller life, all of you, for taking care of all of this. And then the film, Commissioner Fish isn't here. Where did he go to?
He had to leave.
Yeah, okay. Well, you could tell him that I brought his name up. The film American Winter, those people lived in a very nice home and all, but they had to get onto food stamps. They were crushed. That's how people get into crime. They have so much pressure. This is cruel of people, you know, to charge so much rent. I don't know how to say it anymore. It's very cruel. So rent control is also important, too. This is what I wanted to get across. I hope. I wish you all the best, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good afternoon or good evening. You get the last word.
Yes. Hi, my name is Sarah Long, and counsel, I actually thought I would never sit before you again and testify about anything because I am actually one of the priced out renters. I've had to leave Portland and buy housing elsewhere very far away where it's very, very cheap. So there's many things that are to be testified on, to be dealt with. One thing I really want to convey to you guys is that it was an absolute revelation when Mayor Hales recently had his constituent coffee. And I was like, wow, I wish all of our commissioners could do this literally 5 days a week. Because I get the sense that there, as I told him at the time, there's a very wide gap between the policy that you each deal with in your own individual offices and what the concerns of the people are and the possible solutions they see out here on the outside. And it absolutely, like, I have had one person ever take up my offer to please come with me to your offices to speak to your advisors about potential solutions, about how to fix things, about how to connect with what the city really needs. I'm hoping to do more of that in the future. So I just would like to say regarding solutions that haven't been suggested yet, I would like to see the possibility of being able to, as long as there's legal egress, legal departure from a room, being able to simply add another room by placing a wall right down the middle of a room. If we did things like allow each household with a backyard of a minimum of 400 square feet available to simply allow up to two adult campers, perhaps with children, because that's what it's coming to. This emergency is doing nothing but getting worse. then I believe that we could solve that 2,000 unsheltered people almost overnight. So thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Charles, you get the last word.
No, I thought Mr. Johnson already testified. I just wanted to respond to Ms. Long, though. I don't believe there's anything that prohibits people from having campers in their backyard.
I'm pretty sure the zoning code does.
Oh, we'll check. It's a good point.
We will check.
Okay. Did Charles already speak?
He already talked.
I abbreviated my remarks earlier. To
okay. Well, abbreviate them to 30 seconds, please.
I think that you see de facto housing czar in periodic weekly or monthly meetings. We are actually going to engage gave us real statistics about exactly how many evictions are being processed. So I hope that you'll just consider those things. And I know your office is open for us to communicate outside of the box. So thank you very much for your
thank you. Thank you. And this is continued till next week. Is that right, Dan? We're going to take this up again next week for today. Thank you all very much. And we're adjourned until tomorrow.
No, tomorrow. Yeah.
That was owned by his department.